We are grateful to you for tonight's service, and we thank you for another opportunity to be at your feet, to be taught the word of God. We pray in the name of Jesus that you will help us. Let the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us into all truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Please be seated tonight and take your leaders and loyalty book. We're still in the 527 season, and so we're continuing. Amen. Tonight I want to share with you from chapter 12, which is six manifestations of disloyalty. Amen. Six ways to identify disloyalty and to know that a disloyal spirit is lurking somewhere. Hallelujah. Do you want to know six ways? Amen. Now, these teachings are very, very important because we all like people to be faithful to us. Is it not true? Yeah. None of us wants to be a victim of unfaithfulness, isn't it? Nobody wants to be cheated on. No one wants people to be unfaithful to you. Do you understand? And so, it is a very important teaching because we are not only talking about our relationship with Christ, the church. We're also talking about our relationships with one another. Amen. And so it is very, very, very important. Now, to manifest means to demonstrate or to display, you know, or to show forth something. So when we say manifestations of disloyalty, we're talking about outward displays, things that help you to know that something more serious exists somewhere. Amen.
Amen.
Usually, the way you know, for example, doctors are able to tell that a person is suffering from a certain disease is simply by looking at certain symptoms. Do you understand? So once the person begins to show certain symptoms, right there, you know that, this thing means something. Do you see what I'm saying? So what I'm showing you tonight, or what we are studying tonight, are six things that mean something. Do you see what I'm saying? Six things that have more serious implications than the way they present. Amen.
Amen.
Number one is disobedience. Number one is disobedience. Disobedience is an outward manifestation of a disloyal heart. People who disobey you, you know, are people who are not loyal to you. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Because in life, you will be given instructions, isn't it? It's just the way life is. When people disobey instructions, what it means is that they have a heart that does not regard you as you think and does not consider your instructions as important as you think. Do you see what I'm saying? So it's a certain mind, you know, that sets aside what you are saying, do you see, and does something else. Amen.
Amen.
Last week I was sharing with you about rebellion, isn't it? And how that the Bible says it's like witchcraft. Do you see? Now, 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22. God ended Saul's kinship because he disobeyed him. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Now, when you read this story, you might end up even thinking that God is very harsh towards this man. But it is because of exactly what we are talking about tonight, which is that it looks to you that it is just a simple act of do this and he didn't do it and did something else. But God saw deeper than that. Do you understand? God saw deeper than that. And because he saw deeper than that, he could see that at the heart of this is a disloyal heart, a heart that is not wholly after God, but a heart that is after something else. Do you understand? So 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22, and Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken or to listen is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. Wow. Isn't that pathetic? Hallelujah. So right there you can see that God takes obedience very seriously, and disobedience, for that matter, also very, very seriously. Hallelujah. And when people do not follow simple instructions, let's say you are in the church and then you are told to do something or you are told not to do something, do you see? And you continue to do it. It is a manifestation of a heart that is disloyal. Do you understand? See, what I want you to understand from this point is that there are many things that look simple. Do you understand? But they point to a more serious condition of the heart. Do you get it? Yeah, they point to a more serious condition of the heart. Hallelujah. See, so that's what we are talking about here. Now, if you just this same chapter, just reverse a little bit and go to verse 10. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me, say, it repenteth me. It repenteth me. That means, that's an old way of saying, I regret it. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. You know how you can buy something and you regret it, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's called buyer's remorse. Okay. Or buyer's repentance. Okay. So, the Lord said, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king. I feel sad that I have set this person to be king. Hallelujah. Amen. Now think about it. God has blessed someone with what you and I will call promotion. Do you understand? You and I would call that promotion. Because if you were there and you know, tomorrow Kwesi came to say that he's now the director or CEO of, you know, Comcast or even if he doesn't get CEO, at least this area manager is now the manager of Oakland, San Jose, and the Bay Area. Do you understand? Yeah. You would say that the Lord has promoted him. Do you see what I'm saying? Right. So any new status that you come into is actually a promotion and a gift from God, including moving from unemployed to employed. Do you understand? Moving from single to married. Do you see? Moving from not having a car to having a car. Any kind of enhancement of your life is actually a blessing from God. John chapter 3, the Bible says, a man can receive nothing except it be given to him from above. Do you get it? So now, after God has given somebody something, the Bible is saying clearly that a certain set of conditions can exist that can make God say, I regret giving you that job. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. That I regret giving you that. Yes, you have the job, but you know something? I wish I had never given you that job. May it never be said of any of us. May it never be that God has given you something, you see, and now God looks back and thinks that, you know, you would have been better off without this thing. You would have been better off without the job. You'd have been better off without that beloved. You would have been better off without that marriage. You would have been better off without that admission. You would have been better off without any of those things. Do you see what I'm saying? Why? Because after God has blessed you with the thing, then the lifestyle that follows, that is what he can get you to do and what he can no longer get you to do because of that thing, that is what leads to the regret. Do you think you understand what I'm sharing with you? That what is no longer possible since the Lord blessed you with that job, or since the Lord blessed you with this promotion, or since the Lord blessed you with such and such a thing, all the things that are no longer possible are the reasons why God looks at it and says, you know, I repent that I gave this job or this blessing to this man. Do you understand? So he says, the Lord said, it repenteth me, for he has turned back from following me. That's the whole reason. God was expecting that, you know, I've given you kingship, and you were following me, and that's what made me choose you and give you the kingship. But now, since the kingship, you have turned back from following me. You don't follow me anymore. Since you became so and so, and since you became this and that, since you got this and got that, you have turned back from following me. That's the only reason why God said. So anybody who turns back from following God, after God has established him and God has set him up to be anything, that person causes God to regret making him whatever he has become. I think you understand what I'm sharing with you. Yeah. So in your life, you're going to see so many things, Kwame. You're going to be blessed. You will not always be, you know, without a job or without a beloved or without your own place or without your own this or that. I mean, things will change. I mean, all of us, things have changed, isn't it? Eh? All of us, things have changed. That's the truth, because things change. The Lord is merciful, and he continues to show us kindness. He continues to set up. And you see, he said, I have set Saul up to be king. I have set Saul up to be king. I set him up. I set him up. See, you may think that you did this and you did that, but you'd be surprised that there was an invisible hand that was actually setting you up. And without that hand, you could never have become what you became. Do you understand? But after he set you up, he expects you to continue following him. Continue following him. He expects you to continue following him. No! He expects you to continue following him. That means you must still go to church. It means you must still pray. It means you must still attend meetings. It means you must still do all the things you were doing. That is how it's supposed to be. Amen. Amen. So if you think God understands, I'm here to announce to you tonight, he does not understand at all. Yeah. See, there are some of you, God has set you up with jobs, so you cannot work or you cannot come to church, let's say, on Sunday morning. But what about Tuesday? And what about Thursday area fellowship meeting? God never said that we could only serve him on Sunday morning. There's nothing like that. So if you can't come to church on Sunday morning, fine, no problem. Do you understand? But this job that you hold as an excuse, do you understand? For all the things you don't do and assume that God understands, I am coming to announce to you tonight that God doesn't get it at all. He does not understand it at all. At all. Yeah, that you can't come to church on Sunday morning. Fine. But God expects if that zeal and that fire is there, it will show up in other ways. It will show up in other meetings. The zeal will be seen. God will know. I mean, because I'm saying that Sunday morning is not the only way we show that we love God. I'm telling you. Yeah. It will show up if somebody likes food. It's not only, you won't see it only at breakfast. No. So anytime people don't eat breakfast, it means they don't like food. No. Listen, breakfast is not the only opportunity to know that somebody likes food. Yeah? So the person may miss breakfast. They don't eat breakfast. But you catch them at lunchtime or dinner. You see that once the thing is in their heart, you see that the thing, they can't hide it. It shows. It shows. Yeah? And that's how you know this person generally likes food. When everybody is taking one, they take two, three. Yeah. Take two, three, four. Yeah. And you see that, no, this person is a lover. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So I don't believe that all my church members will come to church on Sunday morning. I don't believe that. Because I know people work. I mean, somebody has to work on Sunday morning. Somebody has to drive the train even for those other church members to come. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. So ideally, would like to see you on Sunday morning. But thankfully, Sunday morning is not the only opportunity to express what is in your heart for God. It's not the only so that when Sunday morning is taken away from you by your boss, then your Christianity is totally disabled. No. It's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. If you can't come on Sunday morning, Michael, you should be the first person here on Tuesday. Amen. And the first person at your area fellowship meeting on Friday. Amen. Yeah. If nobody will come, we know that you will be there. Because you have a love for God, a passion, a drive in you that wants to love Him and wants to serve Him. Only that Sunday morning has been taken away from you by your job. Shouldn't be a problem. So I just can't come on Sunday morning. But Friday, I'm there. And Thursday, I'm there. Tuesday, I'm there. Whatever other meeting, I'm there. Because everybody has an off day. Is it not true? Everybody has some time that they don't work. Can I have an amen? So the Lord was... He didn't understand at all. He said, he has turned back from following me. And it repenteth me that I have set up this guy to be king. You see, and from this point on, you see, what is the reason? He has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. Do you get it? He has not performed my commandments. He has not done the things I said. Do you see? So God can see something more serious. Do you understand that? God can see. See, he has not paid his tithe. That thing I said, that 10% of what comes to you is for me. He has not performed it. He has not performed it. He has not performed it. And it grieved Samuel. And he cried unto the Lord all night. Samuel was the prophet through whom Saul became king. And he cried unto the Lord, I'm so sorry, Lord. I feel so bad about this, Lord. Please, I'm so sorry. Then the next verse. Next verse. Quickly, please. Next verse. Then Samuel rose up early to meet Saul in the morning. And it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place. and has gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. Look at you. You are moving around from, you don't know that decisions have been taken about you. God is so unhappy with you and is taking plans concerning you, and you are just moving to Carmel, and you have set yourself up a place, you see, and you have gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. You are making maneuvers, renting places, set him up a place. You are even at the apartment complex, the leasing office, negotiating your garage. Now, why have they not given you garage? And that they should come and talk to your neighbor next to you. He makes too much rubbish and leaves it in front of your apartment. You are quarreling rather, and you don't know that the Lord has turned against you because you have stopped following him since he blessed you. You see, and then the next verse says, verse 13, and Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in my ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? Next one. And Saul said, they have brought them. It's they who have brought them. Do you see? From the Amalekites. Because for people who disobey, they always have a reason. They blame it on somebody else all the time. Are you getting it? Yeah. It's the people. It's the job. It's my boss. It's my this. You see someone who does not even want to come himself. So as the boss is offering, who is coming to work today? They offer themselves because they don't want to. They don't want to. It's in the heart. I don't know why we so quickly forget that God sees the heart, not what you are saying. Do you understand? What you are saying sounds good. And it makes sense. But unfortunately, that's what God is going by. God is going by the truth which is naked and exposed. You can't actually hide it. The Bible says all things are naked and exposed before the one with whom we have to do. Do you understand? He can see everything. He can see every motive. He can see every reason. God can see how you rejoice, a lightness in your spirit that comes into your heart when you have a good reason not to do something. Sheila, why are you yawning? Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yes. God can see it. And so this man is there, and he's saying that it is there. It's the people who have brought it. And it's like, it's not my fault, you know. I would have come, but it's just that the people put me, they signed me up. You see, and he says that they brought them for the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. Do you see? And some people feel that if we can do mix-mix, say mix-mix, a little righteousness, a little unrighteousness. Do you understand? Yeah. That we can do what we call compensatory obedience. You get it? That this one that I'm being asked to do, I will not do. But I will do this to make up for this that I will not do. So you see some people, they come to church regularly. They just won't pay their tithe. And they try to compensate for not paying tithe with their regular attendance. Many years ago, I asked one brother, do you pay tithe? He said, oh, as for me, the bass guitar that I play, that's my tithe. That's my tithe in the church. What Bible verse is that? Bring ye all the bass guitar playings to my house. Hallelujah. Amen. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. Speak. And Samuel said, when thou was little in thy own sight, when thou was little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? Do you see? When you were humble and small in your own sight, that's when God promoted you and made you a king. Do you understand? But now you have become big. You've become big because of the promotion that God has given you. Because of the blessings that God has given you. You have become big. So that if somebody tells you, I'll tell you what the Lord has told me. No, speak. Say on. Yeah. You see, instead of being afraid. Do you get it? But your heart is now lifted up. Do you see? In the next verse, verse 18. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners and the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but thou didst fly upon the spoil? You see, and didst evil in the sight of God. Do you understand? Yeah. You see, that's why I'm saying that. The thing looks to you like a simple thing, but God is seeing in it a whole lot of things that are not obvious in the disobedience of that simple instruction. Are you getting it? Yeah. You see, and the next verse says, verse 20, and Saul said to Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. You see, he's still insisting. Do you understand? So people who argue, you see, people who argue, and when they have disobeyed and try to, you know, sort of play with words and try to act clever and try to say that, well, you know, you said pick up. You didn't say clean or sweep. Do you understand? Because you come to someone and say, look, I want you to pick up all the dirt in this place. Then the person picks up 1, 2, 3, and you come back and the place is still dirty. And then you say to the person, but you have not cleaned the place. Who would have cleaned the place? But what about these things? Well, you said pick up. You didn't say clean. You see, these type of clever words, that's what this guy is doing over here. You see, and so he's saying that, yay, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. And I have gone the way which the Lord sent me. That means towards the Amalekites. And I have brought Agag the king of Amalek. And I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. You see, so he's mixed the whole thing. He's even confused. Because God told him, do not spare anybody. Now you are standing here and you are saying, I have obeyed the voice of God. I have obeyed the voice of God. And then you proceed to explain what you mean by that. And you can see that it includes elements of things that God told you to do that you didn't do. And you are still insisting that you have done. Can you understand that? And so the next one, verse 21. He says, but the people, they took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed. See, the people took the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. Do you understand? Now, if God was looking for these things, he wouldn't have asked them to go and destroy him in the first place. Do you understand? But the person went, and now he's come back to say that he has brought the things he should have destroyed. He says, which should have been utterly destroyed. So why are you still saying that you have obeyed the Lord? Because you are even saying that they should have been utterly destroyed. But you have brought them for sacrifice to the Lord. Do you see? And that's what brings us to verse 22, which we read earlier. And where it says, Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And then the next verse says, because for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness, which is the fact that something has to be told to you over and over and has to be argued out. We have to argue and exchange and say, and you say, and it goes on and on before you see the point, if you even see it at all. That's what is stubbornness. And he says, it's as iniquity and as idolatry. Do you understand? You are just like somebody who worships idols. Then he says, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. Wow. He has also rejected thee from being king. The position is finished. Everything is gone. Do you see? Now when you read after, verse 24, then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. See, this is what he should have said long time ago. Do you see? For I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and I obeyed their voice. See, that is the truth. See, but that's what you don't want to admit. And now we've gone up and down, the whole thing is lost. Now you are saying, I'm sorry. Then he says, now, therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. But when you read the story, you realize that it was too late. God had changed his mind about him and it was over for him. I pray that it will not be over for you. Amen. Because God can make one move. Just one move, and you'll be back to square one, worshiping fully. Do you understand? Do you see that the guy says he wants to come back to church? He wants to now attend regularly, because the job is not there anymore. Do you understand? Yeah, in one move, God can bring you back to a regular worshiper. You'll be in every service, you'll be in every meeting, you be in every prayer meeting because you are so needy of his help that you can't help but just be there every time looking up to him. Are you getting what I'm saying? We don't have to wait till it gets to this point. Say amen. Amen. Number two, scorning. Number two symptom of disloyalty is scorning. A scorner is someone who laughs at people. Do you understand? They do not believe in you. They do not believe in what you're doing. You know? And they laugh at people. Do you see? They laugh. And the Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Hallelujah. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That is, people who mock and who laugh at what we are doing. Hallelujah. So another sign of disloyalty is people who mock and who look down at what we are doing. It's a sign that you are disloyal. Do you understand? It's a sign that you don't have a loyal spirit. You laugh at the pastor. Do you understand? The pastor is preaching. He wants to say, close your eyes. And he says, close your eyes. Do you see? Then you start to laugh. You start to look down on the pastor in your heart. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. You start to look down on the pastor in your heart. You even lose a certain respect for him. And there are people like that. They go to churches and then they sort of size up the pastor and gauge the whole experience. And they just come up with some conclusion and they decide, even many people who decide not to join a church or something, it's because they look down on what is happening in the church. Do you understand?
Yeah.
They compare the church with maybe another church they have been to. A bigger church, more established church, something that has been there for some time that is solid. And then they come here and they start to look down on the work that we are doing, which is building a church from the scratch. From the scratch. Under the carpet. Do you understand? Yeah. When you are trying, because it's most of the time when you join a church, it's already called a church. That's even why you join it. Do you understand? And they have so much going, and it's working, and the thing is developed, and so on and so forth. But to be there, to start a church, where there's nobody, you know, 3 people, 4 people, 6 people, and then you start to gather the people, one, by one, by one, then another one, then another one, then nobody, 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 then one, one, then you lose one. Plus one, plus one, plus one, plus one, minus three. Plus one. Do you understand? And you build it and you build it. And you see that some people, they just mock and they laugh at what is going on. Do you understand?
Yeah.
And they lose respect. And it's a sign that a person has not got a loyal spirit. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you laugh at the pastors in this church, you don't have a loyal spirit. Do you understand? If you laugh at Pastor Henry, you don't have a loyal spirit. Do you get it? You don't. If Pastor Henry preaches and you laugh at him, you don't have a loyal spirit. If Pastor Munene stands here and you laugh at him, you don't have a loyal spirit. Do you understand? And when the person even looks funny to you, you get it? Because you may not be caught laughing at the person. Because most of the time when people are laughing at people, they don't, I'm laughing at you. They don't do that. But it's a disposition of the heart where you think less of the person because of some flaw or some mistake or some something that you see about the person. And that's even if you are right. Do you understand? Tell Isabel to stop crying. Hallelujah. That's not how to respond to the preaching. Even if it's about you. Hallelujah. Are you getting what I'm sharing with you? So mocking and laughing at the work of God. Laughing at pastors. Laughing at the choir. The choir will be singing. Then everybody is going to the left and to the right. And to the left, then to the right. Then you see this one in the middle who does not know which is left and which is right. Or who seems to be confused, you know. So the person is just dancing. Do you know bumps? Do you know the dance called bumps? Yeah. The person is dancing bumps in the middle of the choir. So as you are sitting there, you are smiling and laughing. And it's not because you are excited about the song. You know, what's that song you were singing on? Keep on making a way for me. That's not what you are. You are not excited or sharing the joy of the song. It's just the bumps that you see over there that you are mocking and laughing at. Look down on the choristers. You look down on the praise and worship leader. Find fault with her. And laugh at her in your heart. Do you understand? Yeah. What is she doing? But if she doesn't know the song. Or she doesn't know the words. Why did she raise such a song? You know. You are not singing. You are not raising your hands. You are not singing. Somebody has decided that I want to sing and I want to do something for the Lord. And you are laughing at the person. I just don't understand you. You're laughing at the person. See, some people, they're not doing anything for the Lord. The only thing they know is to go to church and sit there and criticize and look at the church and find the things that are wrong in the church, you know, not understanding that a church that you are building is like a construction site. There is a difference between a construction site and your home. Unless, of course, you have one of those homes which looks like a construction site. Are you getting what I'm saying? But there's a difference. In a construction site, the thing is not sewed together. Do you understand? And sometimes the thing even looks a bit disorganized. Do you get it? Because it's being built up. It's being built up. When it is built up, you will see a lot more order. But as the thing is being built up, sometimes it looks chaotic. Do you get it? Like Isabel has to cry inside the church. Do you understand? Or another child will do something or something like that. It's because the church is small. And it's because the church is growing and trying to, you know, that is what makes us have those kinds of things around. And it's not that we are any less of a church. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah, it's not that we are any less of a church. So if you look down on us, you see, then the Bible says we are blessed when we don't sit near you. Do you get it? That's what it says. That we a blessed person is the one who does not sit in the seat of the scornful. You don't sit where scorners sit. That means it's better for you not to be around. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. We need people who believe in what we are doing by the grace of God. Amen. We are doing a work for the Lord. We are blessed to be able to use our lives to do something for the Lord. To do something, to build a church. Wow, who builds a church? Most people are trying to build a business. Most people are trying to build something that will make them some money. But we are trying to build the house of the Lord. We are trying to build a place where people can have shelter. Where people can hear some preaching. Where people can be prayed for. Where people can be connected. And where people's Christian lives can be helped. Do you see what I'm saying? And it's a good work. It's a good work. It's a good work. Hallelujah. Sometimes you hear people, they'll ask you, really? So you're in that church. I say, how many are you? Do you understand? Then when you mention, oh, we're about 25 people or 30 people. I see. Okay. You see that their respect for the work that you are doing just drops. You know, I was speaking to a lady the other day, and she kept asking, so how many people are in your church? So how many people are in your church? So how many? So eventually I just answered her, you know. And when I answered, I was just trying to see, what is she going to do with that? Then she goes, okay. Yeah. And I could see that she has put us somewhere. She has put us somewhere. Are you getting what I'm sharing with you tonight? So do not be a mocker. Tell your neighbor, do not be a mocker. Do not laugh at people. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't laugh at people. Somebody comes to check, the person is wearing a wig that doesn't suit her. Don't laugh at people. Yeah. Or the person is wearing a blouse that doesn't suit her. Do not laugh at people. Do not laugh at anybody. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, do not laugh at anybody. Do not laugh. You see, decide that you will not laugh at people. Amen. Because you can easily be that person. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Everybody is just a few gears away from becoming anything, really. You get it? Because everybody is who they are because of the support they are standing on. And when you remove this and remove this and remove this, you see how quickly your life is going to go down and you become like the person you are laughing at, if not even worse. Hallelujah. So let's be careful not to be mockers. Amen. All right, number three, quickly, please. Number three is inflexibility. The third manifestation of disloyalty is someone who is not flexible. An inflexible person is stubborn and defiant. You see, such people do not want to do anything. They do not want to work overtime. They do not want to go beyond what is their stipulated or what is stipulated in their contract. Do you understand? Yeah. Inflexible church members are not prepared to stay on if the church service goes beyond the stipulated time. Somebody's thinking that I'm talking about her. I'm just reading a book to you. Hallelujah. Yeah. But we need to be flexible. Can I have an amen? We need to be what? Flexible. You need to be flexible. You shouldn't be stiff and inflexible in the church. Amen. And I think that largely a lot of our church members here are very flexible people. Amen. I think there are a lot of you here. Yeah, it's a good place to clap your hands. Yeah, because we can even just send you a message on Sunday morning and say, our service is at Hampton Inn today. And then everybody's flowing. And you just come to Hampton Inn and come and dance and just be happy. It's like, you tell us where it is next and we are coming. You know, so that's a great blessing. Amen. But I want you to take your flexibility even further. Hallelujah. I want you to take it further to decide that you are going to be flexible in your availability also for the work of God. Amen. Be flexible. Be flexible. I mean, when something is flexible, it means you can bend it in different ways. Do you understand? You can turn it a little bit. You can make it do something it doesn't usually do. Do you understand? You can make it go a direction, in a direction that it doesn't often go. You know? And that's what we need. A new church, or a church, a young church, a growing church needs flexible people. Amen. We should be able to just call you and say, today you should do the ushering. Do you understand? You shouldn't say, oh, but me, as for me, my gift and calling and talent, my gift, calling and talent is to sing in the choir. Do you understand? We should be able to say that, look, you should help today with the children. So me, I don't do children. It's not my strength. Or it's not my strong. Are you getting it? No. There's nothing like that. Flexible. Do you understand? To do what needs to be done when it has to be done. That's what we must have. Hallelujah. So when people are not prepared to be flexible. I mean, you said that it's going to be, we are going to do this and we'll close. And then after that, we're going home. So now we've closed. What is this new plan you are bringing? It means that you don't have a servant spirit. Hallelujah. Because as one of the cardinal signs of a servant is flexibility. Do you understand? And also when you are walking with the Lord, you need to develop flexibility. Because He is the master, not you. Are you getting what I'm saying? You can't keep God a certain range, let's say, of even time, and say, Lord, from here to here, speak. If you don't speak by this time, you are done for. Are you getting what I'm saying? No, you have to be flexible. You have to be flexible. You have to write when God is speaking, not when you are ready to write. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. You have to act when God is moving, not when you are ready to move. The Lord, okay, I'm ready to go, so let's go now. No, He is the master, and you are the servant. Can I have an amen? Amen. So we need to be flexible, and God is going to bless us. Amen. Number four is lies. I'm convinced that demons could have, if demons could have twins, then the twin spirit of lying would be the spirit of seed stealing. Lying and stealing always go together. Anybody who lies to you is not loyal to you. His heart cannot be with you. Hallelujah. And this thing about lying and stealing is so true. Do you see? You remember that Ananias and Sapphira, they went to sell some property and they stole part of the proceeds and brought some to the house of the Lord. And then they lied to say that what they brought was the full price of the house. Do you understand that? Yeah. God doesn't want people to lie in his house. Amen. Watch out for liars. They are dangerous people. Do you know how to catch a liar? Let me share with you a little secret I use. Listen to people as they speak casually. When they jokingly tell you about how they lied to someone and got away with it, take note. Since he's capable of lying effortlessly to other people, he can do the same to you. I believe that truth is an integral part of your character. If the belt of truth is absent, you are exposed to what? To demons. If God hates a lying tongue, it must be the duty of every Christian leader or manager to hate the same thing. Amen. Proverbs 6:16, six things the Lord doth hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Hallelujah. Liars are disloyal people. It means, it points to a more serious condition. Hallelujah. Amen. Right. Number five is tale bearing. In my country, in my language, they call it sabi. Sabi. Do you know sabi? Yeah. Sheila Mills, do you know sabi? Tale bearing. People who go about carrying stories. Hallelujah. Proverbs 6 verse 19. It says, and he that soweth discord among brethren. There are people who have an ability to create stories and recreate events to suit themselves. They can spread stories and make things sound interesting. Do you know someone like that? Can you think of someone like that? Yeah. Hallelujah. They like to spread bad news. They like to spread evil report. Do you understand? Yeah. Carrying out stories. And people who do those kinds of things, who always seem to know a lot about something. It's like they have inside info all the time. Do you understand? Yeah, they are filler people. Do you know filler? Yeah, you don't know filler. Filler is to fill people in with what they are missing. Do you understand? Yeah. Why don't you be a filler of the gospel? Why don't you talk as much about Christ as you talk about people's beloveds, people's lives, what people are doing wrong, what they are doing right? Why don't you just shut up and rather preach the gospel? Since talking is your hobby, why don't you choose to become an evangelist? Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So you need to watch out for such people also. They always have some story. And as they are bringing someone's story to you, you should know that the next story is your story. They are also going to take your story to another person. Are you getting it? Yeah. As they are telling you and telling you not to tell anybody, you know, they say, oh, promise. Then you also promise. Then they tell you, Huh? After that, whatever you say is what they also bring into the next person. Do you get it? Right. Then the last one is rudeness. Rudeness is another sign of disloyalty. Do you understand? Numbers chapter 16 and verse 12. It says, and Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, we will not come up. Have you seen that? Rudeness. The pastor sent to go and call them, Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and they said, we will not come up. We will not come up. We are not coming. Hallelujah. So rudeness is another sign that people or somebody is not loyal to you. It's another manifestation of disloyalty. Hallelujah. Yeah. Most people express animosity behind the backs of their superiors. But people who lash out at you openly with their tongues can lash out at you in other ways. Do you understand? Yeah. Most people, even if they don't like something, they'll just go and hide somewhere and say it. But you should watch out for people who stand up and are openly rude. Do you see what I'm saying? If you have anything like that in you, you need to stop it. Amen? Shouldn't be rude to your boss at work because they scheduled you to work when you said you wouldn't work. Do you see what I'm saying? Shouldn't be rude. There's no reason to be rude to your boss or be rude to anybody. Hallelujah. Yeah. You can politely address the issue. Do you understand? If you have been wrongly scheduled, you can be polite about it. You can discuss it politely. But there's no need for rude outbursts and speaking inappropriately to someone you shouldn't be speaking to like that. Especially someone who hired you. Do you see what I'm saying? Someone who had the option could have chosen you, another person, but they chose you. Do you understand? You shouldn't put them in a situation where they say, it repenteth me that I hired so and so to be the manager of so and so. Can I have an amen? Amen? So watch out for rudeness. Everybody should learn to be polite. Amen. Amen. Tell somebody, learn to be polite. Tell them, learn to be polite. Hallelujah. You can be polite and you can be respectful even when you are expressing displeasure. Hallelujah. There's no need for you to be rude as a Christian. It's not a blessing. Say amen. All right. So that's the end of the chapter. I think we'll continue next time. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet tonight and we can pray. Hallelujah. Number one is disobedience. Number two is scorning. Number three is inflexibility. Number four is lying. Number five is tail-bearing. And number six is rudeness. Hallelujah. Amen. These are six things we need to pray against. Amen. Pray that none of these will be found in your life. Amen. That you will not be a scorner. You will not mock. You will not look down on the work of God. Hallelujah. If you look down at our work, you shouldn't be here. Amen. Shouldn't look down on the church. You shouldn't look down on God's work. You shouldn't look down on the work of God. You must only have respect. Hallelujah. For the work of God. And for every effort that is being made anywhere by anyone to do something for the Lord. Say amen. Amen. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. So we need to pray tonight. Let's pray everybody and say, Lord, help us, please, in the name of Jesus. Help us, deliver us from rudeness, from tail bearing, from lying, from being inflexible, from scorning, and from disobedience. In the name of Jesus, help us. Tell the Lord you want to be flexible in His hands. You want to be flexible. You want to be flexible. You want to be flexible. You can be called upon at any time. That you can be called upon at any time. That you can be asked to do anything. That must be your testimony. That must be what people say about you. That you can be called upon any time. And you can be expected to do anything there is to do. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for tonight. Thank you, Father, for your blessing. Thank you, Lord, for your word. In Jesus' name. Thank you. Oh, yes. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Lead us to the promised land. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, lead us to the promised land. Let's start from the top, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, let's set. Tonight, your word is a lamp unto our feet and it is a light unto our path. We pray, Lord, that you bless the sharing of your word and the hearing of your word. We pray that it will bring forth fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold for your glory. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing tonight. In the name of Jesus, I am praying, Lord, that your people will be faithful, that a loyal spirit will be found in our hearts. In the name of Jesus, we pray, oh God, that we will all be loyal people. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In Jesus' name, and everybody says, amen.